You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey guys, this is the review for The Darkest Minds. Courtney, I know you don't know anything about what this movie's about, but just from that title, what do you think this is about?
So, I'm looking at the description and I see that Mandy Moore is in it, and I watch Mandy Moore and This Is Us. So is this kind of like This Is Us?
It is decidedly not like This Is Us. And that's from someone who's never seen This Is Us, but I can still tell you for sure it is not like This Is Us.
One of these days I'm going to make you watch This Is Us.
Yeah, this is one of your missions. You achieved it with Mad Men, and I was grateful for it.
So. This Is Us is not as good a show as Mad Men.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know then what's going to happen. But we're here to, of course, talk about Oscar Blues Brewing Company, who is our beer sponsor. They make so many great beers. They've got brew pubs that are amazing. Really cool with all sorts of stuff that they do and offer, including live music stages and stuff. One in here in Austin, two in Colorado, and one in North Carolina. They're also the first craft brew in the can with their Dale's Pale Ale, which is absolutely delicious. Tonight, I think a lot of our crew that come here and drink the beer that they supply us with, like the Mama's Little Yellow Pills, I think partially because they're not experienced beer drinkers.
You know, I just got that beer name, that title.
What do you mean? What am I not getting? Is there a thing I should have gotten?
Like the, like pills, like Mother's Little Helper.
Is that what that is? Oh, Mama's see? Little, oh my God, I never put that together.
Valium.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, you have enough of them and it does have a similar effect to Valium for sure. But they are great. You should support them and you should support us and you should go to their brew pub or you should just buy one of the cans of their draft beer, one of their beers from the store and take a picture of yourself drinking it and hashtag or at OneOfUsNet and Oscar Blues, that's OSKAR. To let them know that you're drinking them because we told you to. And also, thank you to our subscribers. You guys are the reason that I have any kind of living at all. It's the reason why Courtney doesn't have to completely support me is because of you guys. And you wouldn't want to write that, right? That'd be humiliating for, like, I'd have to go, please, honey, I know you love me. Will you pay for everything?
That would be actually, that'd be kind of gratifying. But you should subscribe nonetheless.
There's so much bonus content out there for you guys to listen to, and I'm grateful as hell to you guys for doing it. We promise more and more bonus content to come, new shows. We're experimenting with a couple ideas for bonus content things now. They're going to be very different from anything we've done before. We shall see how that goes. But anyway, thank you. You don't want to hear me yammer. Let's go on and listen to this review. I was going to make a really terrible pun about it. It's The Dorkiest Minds, except dorks are going to hate this fucking movie, even though it's essentially just a really bad knockoff of the X-Men mythos.
This is every young
X-Men?
Adult.
No, totally.
X-Men, every young adult movie. At one point in this film, somebody even says, oh, look, this is like Hogwarts. And I'm like, no, dude, do not reference the shit you're ripping off.
Literally every single one. Like... It makes Divergent seem like a classic piece of just cinema. Just,
I mean, let's not go crazy. Divergence isn't good either.
Oh, no.
But it may make The Maze Runner look like a classic piece of cinema, which it is not either.
Hey, at least The Maze Runner got sequels. I have a feeling this movie ain't getting a sequel.
I watch this and I'm just kind of baffled by it consistently. I said at one point... This is like a pilot for a show on the UPN. Not even CW, not even the WB, on UPN.
Preempted by Homeboys in Outer Space.
Exactly. I just really kind of, I'm just embarrassed because there's enough of a core to the story that you're like, I can see you could do something really interesting with this. They just chose not to.
A movie doesn't have to be inherently original. I mean, you don't have to like have the greatest, newest idea of the world. You just have to execute it much better than this movie did. And I was kind of disappointed because looking at the press notes, it was directed by Jennifer Yen Nelson, I believe. Yep. Or Yu Nelson, my apologies. And she actually is an animator. This is her live action debut. She cut her teeth doing animated features and directed the Kung Fu Panda films, which I thought were fun.
Well, the
and
second
really,
one and the first one are good. The third one's
well, you know, I stopped after that. But, you know, it was it's still the idea is like, you know, she can direct a good movie, that she can do something that's sort of colorful and exciting and warm. And this movie has so little of that spark. It's like, again, it's this very gray kind of palette. It's a dystopian future. It has, again, ripping off other stuff. It feels like, what's World Without Men? Land Without Men?
I don't know.
Children of
Men. You know, it's like, oh, there's a future where half of the kids in the world have died and the few remaining are like mutants. Who have horrible powers.
Well, it was just such a coincidence because right before we went into the movie, we all had this huge conversation about fan fiction. And this 50 Shades of Grey was a movie based on a Twilight fan fiction. This movie feels to me like a fan fiction movie based on like Divergent or Hunger Games or something like that. And the timeline fits, guys. The timeline really fits.
It kind of drives me crazy the degree to which all these YA things are like dystopian near future. Something happens, and that's the reason why all these kids are the oppressed ones versus adults.
Right. You have to be sectioned off into your group, and your group has specific abilities or powers.
They get sorted into their houses. I mean, they have they have color codes, which I guess is kind of a kind of
making a racial statement, but only so half-assedly that you're just so you're just going to say that, and you're going to go and then literally do nothing with make it make any sense as that being a metaphor.
And the shame of it is that, you know, you do have some actors who are, they're doing their level best. They're given the material that they're given, and they do what they can.
Before we go there, let's just talk about the plot for a second. Amanda Stenberg, who I believe played Rue in The Hunger Games.
Yes, she did.
Who was a weirdly standout part from the movie. In the second one, everyone's like, oh, I love Rue so much, and she was great at it. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, we're going to be seeing her in some stuff.
She was in the first one, but yeah, she was a standout film of Hunger Games. Yeah, she was the heart of that film.
Well, she's basically the lead character in a future America where there's a disease that comes up suddenly, kills 90-some percent of the children in the world like very quickly, and the ones that remain and don't die have all got psychic powers, although weirdly, very sectionally.
There's such a disparate, like, level of quality between each of the powers. Like, the low ones are just, like, super smart, which is like, I guess?
Yeah, they got the shitty end of the power.
And their power is their AP students.
Yeah. And the other ones have, like, fire breathing and, like, telekinesis and
Before we get into their powers, can we just say the plot of the whole movie is that when you become a teenager or a child, you become a victim of the plague, and you either die or you get powers. This is just another way of saying you get a mutation or you evolve,
right?
And you get mutant powers. And it's just like a roundabout way of saying.
And they're
same
like,
thing.
Oh, the government got scared, so it rounds them all up into camps. And after we see an initial thing where Rue, I'm just going to call her Rue.
I'm down for that.
Like, where Ruby?
Yeah, but I like Rue better. She was one of those who didn't seem to be affected at all, because a lot of kids, it took a while. And she's with her loving parents, and one night she's in bed with them, and she touches her mom, and there's a flash, and her eyes turned orange. Orange, specifically. Important. The next morning, her parents don't remember her. Like, what? And you're like, what is that? So anyway, she gets sent off to concentration camps with all the other kids who are being color-coded. We see that, like, she's being graded as a kid for, like, what her powers are, whatever, and the screen goes, orange, terminate immediately! And she grabs the doctor by the arm, who's about to kill her with something in a needle, and goes, no, I'm green. I'm the ones that you don't have to worry about, because they're just AP students.
Her power is Jedi mind tricking.
Yeah.
And so it flashed 6 years later, so she can be, like, you know, I guess sexy. And because she's just a little girl when it starts.
Very true.
And they've all been in the camps for a while, and it leads into a thing where Mandy Moore shows up suddenly as a ex-social worker, now doctor, who says they're going to kill you. They figured out that you're actually an orange, and she helps her escape from the camp, and she decides she's maybe not safe with these people either, ends up kind of falling ass backwards in with a bunch of other young escaped mutants.
In a remarkable coincidence. Yeah. They're all in the same place.
Exactly. And goes on the run with them looking for a mythical safe land that perhaps exists out there somewhere. A safe camp of kids who've gotten away.
Walking Dead fans, this will sound very unfamiliar to you.
Yeah. Can we talk about the pacing of this movie? Because at first, it just goes almost like lightning quick to its like to a fault where it's just
a lot of backstory.
Immediately from like backstory into chasing. Yeah. And then it just stops and there's nothing happening until like maybe the last 15 minutes. Yeah.
No. Until they find this mystical place of where it's this camp of lost children all ruled under the benevolent gaze of a guy who looks a fuck lot like Brock Turner, which is really creepy as fuck. Oh, no, poor casting choice.
Patrick Gibson is the actor who you're just like, wait, where have I seen that
I'm sorry,
before?
You look rapey. I know it's not your fault. You just happen to look like one of the most well-publicized rapists in the world.
You know why he looks rapey? Because this whole time, his collar is popped up. And you're just like,
what are
you doing?
As soon as he had a popped collar, I was like, no, red light.
Yeah, red light, exactly. Yeah. Which is to say this movie really, like, is trying so hard to pretend like it's saying something, and it just doesn't actually want to. It wants to remind you of current issues and not actually say something about them at all.
Yeah.
But, going through all this, there's a lot of weird, like, stuff that you can tell it's part the first book of a trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Gwendolyn Christie, who deserves so much better.
Thankless
role. They Captain Phasma'd her again.
Again. She plays this...
It's like, oh, she's a badass, but... Don't get attached, kids, because she's not really
she
much.
She plays
in
this
it.
Random bounty hunter who all the kids already know about. Oh my god, it's Lady Jane! It's Lady Jane, who totally is never really a threat.
No, not at all.
The worst fucking wig. It's almost like you have me for 2 days. Get me a wig. They're like, well, this is all we got, and this is all we can produce in 2 days. Fine, fuck it, put it on me. And it's such a shame because she's such a magnificent actress. I love seeing Gwendolyn Christie in anything. And I just hate seeing her wasted time and time again.
Yeah. She was really only there to advertise Dodge Chargers.
It's hard to
It works.
That's a nice Dodge Charger.
I wanted a Dodge Charger.
That color on that car was...
I mean, she is really talented, but it's hard to get roles as a 12-and-a-half-foot woman in Hollywood, so... She's the only person other than Bradley Whitford who plays the president of the United States who barely
2 days of work.
Ever since the West Wing, he's like, I get to play the president from now on. Fuck Martin Sheen.
Tired of taking orders from that guy. I'm in charge now.
There's so many characters that just full on just leave the movie for like a good 40 something minutes until you show up and like, oh wait, yeah, you're a thing like the sadistic captain who's just chewing scenery like nothing else. And then he leaves for a good chunk of the movie before you forget he's a thing.
Yeah.
Who conveniently includes his name and rank in emails. That way the audience knows who he's communicating with.
There's a lot of like waiting for the other shoe to drop when it's entirely obvious what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And in a way that a better filmed movie, a better written movie, could have done in a way that was genuinely a surprise. But this is not that movie. And once again, going back to the whole thing of like, why do people, like, they're so neatly sectioned off into powers where you're like, you either, on a triangle scale of like how dangerous you are, if you're green, you're just super smart. If you're blue, you have telekinetic powers, which... totally beyond my comprehension.
I don't understand.
Like
the
between one and two.
They have it set up in like a food pyramid.
Yeah.
In my food pyramid, like the most nutritious stuff is on the bottom, and then you work your way up to the junk food.
But in this
pyramid, like super smart people are at the bottom. Like, electricity and telekinesis are in the middle, which I feel like those should be like maybe the top.
Yeah, and then you have like
fire powers,
weird superpowered telepaths who can literally change your memories and who you are.
And they should be at the top, but I don't know if they should be at the tip top.
And then you have the rabid dogs, the Reds, who are like have fire breathing powers, and you're like, why are they all rabid? Like they're like Rachel Summers in the X-Men.
I mean, it's like when they first meet her. Their whole ranking system is basically the Homeland Security chart crossed with a nutritional table. And it's like, yeah, and I feel bad for the guys who are like, I'm a superpower and my life is on the line. What's your superpower? I can do the crossword puzzle. I'm really fucking smart and, you know, I'm able to like crack codes and shit with radios that are just conveniently located where I need them.
So one of the annoying things is every time someone uses their power, their eyes light up the color.
They're color coded.
Coded to, which is like, I guess why they got that color code. But the character in here who's one of the kids who is the smart kid. They have his eyes light up when he's just like basically seeing stuff that is so incredibly obvious that a moron
Eureka!
Eureka! And you're like, I don't think you needed your superpowers for that one, man.
This is one of my pet peeves in films. Because I've worn glasses ever since I was 6 years old, and I've always had a really strong prescription. I hate it when people in movies, their glasses are always immaculately clean. I will give them credit for...
Oh my God.
No, wait, I'm building on this. I did like that about, don't worry, he won't get far on foot, because his glasses were always smudgy, because he would be. They would be. That's the kind of guy he is. Everybody's glasses are perfectly cleaned
really
and white.
Really getting to know Marco
and
now.
And then he makes a joke like... You think I don't wear these Coke bottle glasses just because I'm dumb? It's like, yeah. You have like the thinnest glasses. There's no distortion on your eye at all.
You clearly don't actually need glasses.
You do not need glasses. You have these nice, you know, frames that are pristine and actually do not serve any magnification purposes.
Now that you point that out, I can tell you are blind as a bat.
I am blind as a motherfucking bat. So when I see that shit, I'm like, bullshit. You've already lost me.
That's the point where this movie dropped you
out.
Well,
if we're going to go on Marco's rant about eyeglasses.
To be fair, that was early on.
Just saying, if we're going to go on Marco's rant about eyeglasses, can I also go on my side rant about the main character's hair being beautiful the whole movie?
Yeah.
Well, but
just saying, that's so unrealistic. I hate it.
It's like in almost every movie.
At one point, she wears a dress.
But I mean, you let him go on his eyeglasses thing, so I thought I'd just
You're on the run. You should not be wearing a dress.
Yeah. There is that weird moment where they're on the run. And they stop off in a public motel and get a room, and you're like, isn't the whole thing anytime anyone sees anyone who's clearly a kid, which they clearly, every one of them are, that you call the police? So
my impression
how
is they
did
were,
that work?
Apparently
my
the
impression
mall's
is
abandoned.
They were squatting.
But there were other cars in the hotel lot and everything. It was like, it was not like some...
It did seem kind of like squatting because they mentioned that all of the country folk had moved to the city because no kids, no commerce
All the cities were, all the small towns were abandoned.
No, basically. But when they pull into that lot, there's multiple other cars in the lot. So clearly that hotel, not
because
abandoned.
Because they probably didn't have the budget to, you know, to get the whole location for the whole
so
time.
You have a problem with that, but the smudged glasses, you're like...
My point is, like, we're such a cheap-looking fucking movie. You're like, look, we'll just shoot while your people are actually staying here the night. We'll ignore the cars because we no longer care about logic.
There's also one more thing that the Y books always, well, Y adaptations always do, which like the mini music video, and when they go to the mall and they just have like a just like 3 minute scene of just them just frolicking. I'm like, wait. Isn't there any urgency in the situation that you guys are in
at
right now?
At least the song wasn't Who Let the Dogs Out? I'll give this movie that. Yeah. Give it that. Shut up, Bo.
Sorry. We're recovering from another film.
It's just so thoroughly and relentlessly predictable and poorly thought out and has continuity errors. And it's just like, it's a television show from 15, 20 years ago that didn't even get
And it might have been 15 years ago, this might have seemed interesting. Mm. But we've seen so many versions of this already that it's just, there's no novelty left in it. And I get why this YA thing is so popular now. I mean, that's a big market. Kids like to see material that is based about kids their own age, that's marketed towards them. And in these dark times, it must be great to have, you know, heroes who look and sound like you that are the same age. I wish we would see more YA material that would, you know, rather than like the kids, you know, saving the world by starting an armed revolution or using their superpowers, if they just like, I don't know, registered to vote. And like, we saw them going to the polls regularly every two to four years.
Play some heroic music behind it.
Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, you kids can save the fucking world. Oh, you don't want to save the world that way. You want superpowers and you want to do it to a music montage.
Where someone realizes it's okay to vote for the candidate that wasn't the one you originally wanted and you have problems with because they're so much better than the other guy.
Yeah. That's boring. Okay, fine. Here's another cookie cutter story that's set in this gray, miserable world where all the adults are bad and you can only you don't trust anybody over 30. And thank God you have superpowers or a bow to save you. Because not bow Paul, because he's not going to help anybody. I mean, more like a bow and arrow.
This is the movie equivalent of a participation award.
Yeah. It's like, hey, are you under 30? You're part of the solution. Good on you. You don't have to do shit. Just feel smug in knowing that, you know, you're part of the solution, not part of the problem.
The revolution will not be a YA adaptation. I'm just saying.
The revolution will not be live tweeted.
I found it's even more insulting when you have something that could have been actually interesting that it felt like no one put any effort into, except for Amanda Stenberg, who really is trying so hard.
Yeah.
She is giving this her all, and it's a shame because the dialogue is all, it's dire. It's bad.
I think she's a strong actress, but I was very confused as to whether she was a good actress or if she was just really beautiful. This whole movie was just like that. I'm not really sure.
I guess it could be both,
but I feel like it was one more than the other.
She had a lot of the dramatic sort of heavy lifting was put on her shoulders.
Yeah.
I think she took it on. I think this is a case of a lot of talented people committing really hard to making something that is mediocre from the get-go. It's like, I don't care how hard you try, you're never going to get much better than this.
When they stuck to the core cast of Amanda Steinberg and, like, the three other kids, it was very, very strong when they were on their, like, road trip, trying to survive, find, like, the nice land.
Yeah. Well, it's like the roving mutant Benetton.
Yeah.
All their dialogue was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them were stereotypes, but at the end of the movie, I felt like I cared for those four main cast members.
Sure.
I cared for them at the end of the movie. I cared what happened to them. All these other side characters that they threw in last 30 minutes or, like, had, like, 5 minutes of screen time. I don't know. I don't even know if I bought the whole premise, but for those four main characters, I did care about them.
I can't even say that. They were just so generic.
Yeah.
And it was so focused on the burgeoning romance between Stenberg's character and Harris Dickinson's character, who is the telepath, who right from the beginning, the moment they look at each other, you're like,
there's the romance.
What's happening, but they made it build up to that point because she didn't trust him at first, and then she saw him through other people's eyes
But all that was
I felt like
so,
it had a building up to her really liking
so
him.
So bland, and once again, another thing ripped off from the X-Men. They were going with the Rogue storyline.
Right. Yeah.
I can't touch him. But this drove me crazy because the powers are so inconsistent because, you know, she's like, we see that if she touches you with her hand, some bad shit will happen. But apparently, you know, touching with the rest of her body's fine.
Oh, dude, they constantly have her touching people.
Oh, and she's been like full on hugs of people.
But the
nothing.
Same thing,
nothing.
The little girl whose power is like she has basically the power of electricity and she has to walk around with like insulating, you know, like yellow dishwashing gloves.
Yeah. Which she doesn't take off to use the power. So I was like, what was that?
Right.
Even there for?
And the thing is, people can touch any part of her body and not get shot. It's only apparently her fingertips.
And let me just say once again, the government has the list of the things on the food triangle of what's considered dangerous and what's not. But they're like, telekinetics and girl can shoot electricity. That's fine. That's not dangerous.
Yeah, those are normal.
No, it's totally, we can deal with that.
I mean,
no
I do get that part where it's like, oh, she can fuck with your mind. Okay. People who can fuck with your minds are pretty dangerous. If she's a kid who can shoot bullets, fine. We can just shoot that kid. The kid who with the mind powers can actually make you shoot yourself.
These are not the bad young actors you're looking for.
There is a point where they literally do that. They're like, you'll let us pass. You don't need to see our identification.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, when did she become old Ben? I mean, this is ridiculous.
We will collect $200.
Yeah, we will. if this had been done 15, 20 years ago, I might say that this was an original idea that had some merit. Despite its flaws, but it comes so late after so many other things. I don't know if they're better, but there's a lot of them that were have already covered this material. And again, I'm really tired of like these young adult novels set in these grim dystopian futures where the kids have to save the day. That's great. Yes, I'm Whitney. I believe the children are our future. Blah blah blah. But goddamn it, go out.
Let them lead the way.
Let them lead the way with their, you know, weird mind powers.
You know what we need to do? We need to rock out the vote.
That's right. Rock the vote out. You know, but that's literally what you could do. That's a positive message to send to kids. But here's like, you're weird and awkward, and this is just another extended metaphor for adolescence and puberty. But seize your power.
One that we're not even good at doing. Like I said, every time they try
and
approach like they're trying to say something, which is really on the nose, and then They're not really. It's more less. This is a metaphor for this to say something about it, and more like, remember when this was a thing 2 minutes ago? Date rape?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, my God.
I already thought the dude looked like Brock Turner. I'm sorry, that's a bit of a spoiler, but fuck it. You're not going to watch this movie anyway.
I hope you're not going to watch this
movie. You know, because the thing, part of the problem with a movie like this, and Kim confirmed it because she did the research, like a good researcher should. She confirmed that this is actually part of the novels, not the movie, the novels. There's three. And the way this movie ends, you definitely feel like they are setting up a sequel, and that there are still a lot of loose plot threads, because apparently those are things that are becoming important
and
later.
That much more determined to rip off the Hunger Games.
Yeah, but it's just like, God damn it, you know, you didn't make me care enough to want to see the next installment.
No, but keep going to your final thoughts.
You know, it's really hard to even say anything terribly interesting about this movie because it's just so derivative. Imagine every negative YA review you've ever read and just apply it to this movie. I mean, they applied their plot, so you might as well apply their criticisms as well to it. As I stated earlier, I think there are some good performers. I think Amanda Stenberg and the guy Harrison Dickinson, I think they had a nice chemistry. I think they really try to play that romance, but they're saddled with some of the cringiest, obvious romantic dialogue I've heard in a very long time.
Or just dialogue, period.
Just dialogue, period. And that's true across the board. But for some reason, when it's saddled to a romantic subplot, it's just even worse. I mean, the effects are okay. The ideas are not inherently horrible. It's just you've seen them all done better elsewhere. Frankly, I don't see any reason to see this movie. If you have to see it, maybe wait till it shows up at Netflix or Redbox. Don't pay full price. I give this movie 3.5 out of 10 glowing eyes.
What about you, Kim?
This movie had the same feeling to me as I saw Fullmetal Alchemist on Netflix, the movie, the live-action movie.
Oh, God.
It had the same feeling to me.
Oh, God.
I felt like, okay, this movie is the first book of a trilogy, but I felt like they took all the cliff notes from a book and kind of mashed them all together because it was so jumpy, the editing.
I can see that.
Beginning of the movie was kind of really choppy. I felt like I wanted to care about her and her parents' relationship, but they didn't really give me enough to build on that. They showed her parents giving her a Pokemon keychain, which was super awkward and weird to me. And then they jumped ahead to her being like a really sexy, like 16-year-old girl, which I relate to that, but but it was
check out her Facebook profile, but scroll down for a while.
Yeah. Or scroll up, depending on where you are in the timeline. Yeah. But it was just really, really choppy to me. The 14-year-old part of me who had all the Twilight books and watched True Blood and all that good stuff wanted to love this movie because it had, you know, it had the female character who was the lead, who was strong, who had powers, and it had, like, the love interest who was devoted to her. It had all the, like, it checked all the boxes for me. But at the same time, the writing was just not there. They threw in a lot of, I'm going to reference something you were saying, like the WB or something like that. The new thing is the CW for all the kids out there. the CW where they throw in like all these songs.
But that was partially why I was like, wasn't even going to give it enough credit to be a CW show.
Yeah,
CW show would be better.
Well, CW shows will have an emotional scene and they'll play the new song and they'll, in like a little like banner at the bottom, be like, this is Justin Timberlake and his new single, blah, 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 go buy it. And that's what I felt like this movie was. It was just like a cash grab almost for whatever was left of those YA novel movies, which honestly died out 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like they did, but they keep making them.
They keep making them, but this was barely advertised.
People, that's the problem.
Yeah, I know, right? What is it you guys want? Your own movies? Fuck you.
Stop already.
I'm hanging on by a thread to my youth. And I feel like this was that last movie that really I wanted to cut that cord. Like, yeah, I'm ready to be an adult. Bring me in for some Lifetime movies or something. But
so this was a Bill Dunn's Roman for you watching the film. Yeah. You went through a whole, like, this is the story of you becoming an adult watching this movie.
It completely was. But there were so many thankless roles that I felt really bad for, like Mandy Moore and Gwendolyn Christie. These are both really good actors, but have been stereotyped as Mandy Moore is always going to be that person who's looking out for you. She's a good girl. You can trust her. I knew I could trust her from the get-go. It would have been a huge twist for me if at the end she was actually a bad person or something like that.
Or if they had gotten an actress who is someone who doesn't traditionally play good roles to be her, like somebody with a big scar on their face or some shit, you know, and you're like, I don't know. And then you're like, no, come on. Don't judge a book by its cover, kids. Well,
what I mean is the they're not doing anything surprising. They're not showing me anything I haven't seen before, which is what Marco was saying, being derivative. But, yeah, I really, 10 years ago, I would have loved this movie. And I know I would have loved this movie, but I've just had so many life experiences, and I've seen so many movies since then, that I don't think I can.
You're old and hardened.
I am. My heart is cold and a rock at this point.
On this day, Kim's heart grew 3 times.
Or shrunk.
It's shrunk.
It shrunk 3 times, and now it's black. Like the rest of me. And it... But yeah, I was going to say this movie... God, I wanted to love it. That's what hurts me the most. And I would still love a sequel if a sequel came out, because they set up the sequel really hard. Like, the last 20 minutes of this movie was setting up a sequel.
The only way I would even think about watching a sequel to this voluntarily, as opposed to because I have to, is if, like, they said Michelle Gondry directs. And I'd be like, I've got to see what happens with that shit.
Well, Special effects. Honestly, my biggest critique was probably the directing. The directing I thought was really, really weak.
And it's a shame because she's a good director. Just this good animation director.
Okay, you think she's a good animation director from Kung Fu Panda 2?
Yes.
Is that the only thing?
Kung Fu Panda 2 is great, though.
The second one is. The third one, not so much.
The thing is, this is a movie that, you know,
I will call this
it's a
movie,
new set of skills.
Yeah.
I will call this movie a 3 out of 10. Neglected black characters.
Yeah, on that note, Brad Bird directed Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, which kicked ass. His first live action film. He also directed Tomorrowland, but we're not
right.
Gonna
yeah.
Shaq, what about you, man? What do you
this
think?
Is the most generic ass shit I've ever seen. Like, the most bold it ever goes is when they kill a kid in the first 5 minutes, and it never gets any better from there. It rips off everything from Hunger Games to Harry Potter to The Maze Runner to even Star Wars. Like, at the very end, if something happens to a certain character, and the way they leave that character is almost identical to the freaking Force Awakens. If you guys know what character I'm talking about.
Also, Avengers Infinity Wars.
That's true.
And
I know we made fun of Maze Runner, but at the very least with Maze Runner, at least shit kept happening. It was like the plot kept moving to a certain pace where I'm like, all right, even though this is not great, at least something's happening where I'm not never bored. This, I'm bored for at least like a good 85 to 90% of the movie because jack shit happens. Like, after that big action scene, which isn't even really that big, it's just a series of just mediocre dialogue to music video montages of them just like hanging around the mall or walking together just as good friends. It looks like a commercial for like Old Navy.
The grim dystopian version of
exactly.
Old Navy.
Like, for this great dystopia, like, they make it feel like it's a much bigger dystopia than it actually is when it just feels so fucking minor. And yeah, you could tell every single character what they're about in the first 0.5 seconds. You already know their exact personality types. And it never strays any different. Just, you could do much better in the fucking YA universe. I think, in fact, just kill off this whole fucking subgenre. Like, we're done now. Like, all the good ones have been done. So, 4.5 music video montages out of 10.
With the exception of the Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman, which I would love to see.
Okay. We'll give Neil Gaiman that one, because that's Neil Gaiman.
You nailed it with saying 80% of this movie is just fucking boring as shit. That's this. Forget everything else we've said and just focus on this. This movie is so boring. Nothing happens. They'll have scenes, you're like, whoa, some shit's about to go down, and then nothing goes down. They're just like, what is one thing after another? They're just talking, and I'm sitting here watching this like, we haven't even talked about Twilight as an influence, and we have to, because it's a genre film that's much more concerned about will they, won't they, than the fact that these people all have superpowers.
We even forgot about the fact that, like, they introduced the, like, the fire breathers, like, oh, these roving, like, badasses. And they get dispatched in literally, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah, you're just like, whoa, it's the big I couldn't even finish the sentence. Yeah.
That would be like Avatar, The Last Airbender.
The worst kind.
I was so bored watching this. Like, I went into this, like, despite Corey going, you know this is going to be bad, next to me. I was like, I don't know that it's going to be bad, Corey. I like movies about mutants with superpowers. And then I was like, 20 minutes in, I was like, oh, goddamn it, Corey's totally right. He's fucking terrible.
But then you perk up the 17 times they mentioned Virginia.
No.
And all its many beautiful
The very mention of the word Virginia gives me PTSD. I have a plan for the rest of my life to never step foot in that state ever again, if at all possible.
I'm pretty sure this was not shot in Virginia. Anyway.
It was shot in West Virginia.
I'll probably have to go back for funerals at some point, whatever.
Damn.
Anyway, yeah, this is just garbage. It's past mediocre because this could have been good, and nobody involved gave a shit. Yeah, I can't believe this wasn't a filmed for television pilot. It feels like it was.
Yeah.
And then someone said, wait, maybe there's enough here for a theatrical franchise. Like, okay, I guess we're going to go back and do pickups and film more to make it movie length. It's just not good. I kind of hated this. And I realize I'm coming from the viewpoint of a geek who loves people with mutant powers, like doing stuff and going, everybody does this better than you. Literally, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen did this better than you. I give this 1.5 out of 10 really disappointing mutant powers.
Damn.
I really did. It just made me mad. Me mad watching it. I was like, no, fuck this movie.
That's actually not on the scale. That's when your eyes glow brown. It's just a brown shit color.
But I do give Amanda Stenberg 9 out of 10 chance to do much better stuff than this.
Oh, yeah.
She's later in her career because she's quite good.
Even freaking Harris Dickinson, I thought he was really good. If you guys ever saw the movie Beach Rats?
He's going to show up as a villain in the next season of Arrow or some shit.
Yeah. You know? I think he's really underrated, and I think he does his best, but he just comes off as really generic.
And then, of course, Patrick Gibson, who I kept referring to in my head as frat boy Skywalker, just like Fratakin Skywalker.
Frat Walker.
Like, oh, for fuck's sakes. I don't know. Don't go see this movie. Don't support this movie. That's it. I got nothing else.
Don't even let your little sister see this.
That's right.